Hello, I'm John Evans from One West. This is a podcast about cybersecurity, why it's important and how you can approach it. I've got Rob Long with me to talk about it. Hello, Rob.
Hi, John.
So, Rob, listening to the news, my impression is that cybersecurity issues are becoming more prevalent. Is that the case?
Yes, cybersecurity threats are increasing and it's one of the top tier threats in the country. And so, therefore, it's filtering down to all of our customers and schools and care providers and so forth.
So given our dependence on IT is increasing, is it likely to be even more so going forward?
Yes, I think the risk is always going to be increasing, and I think therefore we need to give it some serious thought about how we try and mitigate it.
And here's a puzzling thing. What sort of things are cyber criminals and hackers trying to get out of cyber attacks? Why do they do it?
There's many factors involved with this. So there could be trying to infiltrate your organization to obtain data, to get a competitive advantage, or they might just be trying to disrupt your organization by bringing the network down or the availability of the systems down, or hold you to ransom and try and obtain eventually some sort of financial gain. It's usually monetary gain that they're after.
So I guess in some cases there have been some huge effects. What sort of things have happened?
I think it's been well documented, the NHS cyber attack that happened last year. That's quite a significant effect, and I think it's only going to get worse. There's lots of other attacks that we're aware of, and a lot of attacks go underreported for companies fearing their reputation.
We maybe think of cybersecurity audits as most relevant to big rather than smaller organisations. Is that the case?
No, certainly not. I think we should all complete some sort of cybersecurity risk assessment. There was some interesting stats recently that a number of organisations haven't completed any sort of cybersecurity risk assessment or compliance review. And the stats then that filter back into successful attacks really highlight this.
And how does cybersecurity relate to other important things like GDPR and business continuity?
Yes, they're very much linked because the GDPR is obviously around data protection and privacy, and one element of GDPR is around appropriate security, so technical security and organisational measures to protect personal data. Obviously, cyber covers all of your organisational assets, so commercial data as well as personal data, which is covered by GDPR. And business continuity is very much linked to this because should you have a successful cyber attack which may bring down your network, the availability of it, then you need plans to continue and maintain your business while you recover from such an incident.
So, do people who don't take care of cyber security have more risk for their organisation in terms of maybe fines or being sued?
Yes, there's always going to be a certain element of risk around fines and enforcement. The regulators are there to enforce the law around GDPR, and there's one element to that you could receive a fine for poor security. However, you're more likely to the indirect damage from financial damage and reputational damage on the back is quite significant as well.
And do cybersecurity issues only come from the outside, or is it sometimes people working within an organisation who set out to cause cybersecurity problems?
Yeah, the insider threat is significant. A disruptive, disillusioned employees also pose a threat. So we do need to consider how we would mitigate that threat, and it's a difficult one. So there's plenty of measures we could talk about how you mitigate that.
And these days, we think of things like health and safety audits as the norm. Is it becoming the same as cybersecurity audit and checks?
Yeah, so I think if we think about where we've come from with health and safety legislation, and another example might be something like safeguarding in schools. These days, it's just part and parcel of our compliance regime. It's we do regular risk assessments, regular updates, and so forth, updating our policies. Cybersecurity, data protection has to be a part of that, and it just has to be a part of our business as usual and our culture as we move forward.
Okay. To a layperson, it feels like a field which is really complicated. Is it in fact?
There are elements which are quite technical. So the word cyber is being branded around, so cybersecurity. I think it is a balance between the technical security, which is really, really beneficial. So you have to rely on specialist IT, cyber specialists to give you that assurance. But also the organisational measures shouldn't be forgotten about as well. So things like policies and training and awareness are also quite key. For example, Cyber Essentials standard prevents 80% of cyber attacks from being successful, and it's just some simple cybersecurity controls that you can put in.
And what about keeping up with change as cyber criminals become more sophisticated? I suppose it's important to work with software suppliers. They must be constantly improving the protection they offer.
Yeah, the suppliers of cybersecurity products are working hard to update their packages accordingly. They're using artificial intelligence and machine learning to look at threats as they're evolving and emerging. So they update their software, which in turn benefits the customer, whichever business you buy it from.
I see. So are there common sorts of things which people need to be attending to, Rob?
Yeah, there certainly are. So what we've seen is an increase in the last 6 months or so, an increase in cyber attacks that have come through email as a way in. And this has been consistent for a while now. A lot of those attacks have been successful because the ability to log into your work email from the internet using something like Office 365. And just relying on a username and password. And of course, because of those two elements, they can be obtained quite quickly when a user sort of duped into logging into a system which appears to be Office 365 when in fact it's a bogus system. So we recommend making sure you employ something called multi-factor authentication. And whilst that sounds very technical, all it really is on top of your username and password, it's just another factor that the system needs to authenticate you. So that might be the device that you're logging in from, or it might be a code, which a lot of banks sort of support you with. Now, Office 365 allows you to enable this. And so if you were logging in from outside of your organizational network, you might get a code sent to your mobile phone, which you can use to log in as well as your username and password. That will stop a number of these attacks because obviously the hacker who gets your password and your username doesn't have that code. And we've seen that being effective in terms of stopping these attacks coming in. And obviously we've seen it on the other side where they have got in without that control in place. So that's one definitely recommended control you should put in place.
That's a good tip, Rob. So Rob, how much of risk reduction is really common sense?
I think common sense does come through here. I think the difficulty is with something like a phishing attack, which we've just discussed, it only takes one person to be conned into revealing their credentials and their password for the attack to become successful. So whilst the human awareness training is really key, people's in reality, when people are rushed or they're doing things too quickly, you can fall foul to that. So human awareness training is quite key, but it has to be complemented by technical controls as well.
I see, okay. Rob, I wonder if you can set me straight on some of the terminology related to cybersecurity. I've heard of malware and ransomware. What sort of problems do they pose?
Yeah, I would say there's a huge amount of terminology related to cybersecurity, and I think that's half the problem is terms get branded around and not necessarily explained. So, malware is effectively malicious software. Like a virus that will come in and maliciously roam around your network. Ransomware is basically software that will encrypt your network or encrypt some data and hold you to ransom to unlock it effectively. And we've seen that obviously with the WannaCry attack in the NHS last year.
So what sort of things do you do to protect against them?
So good technical products in place to identify that malware coming in at the border or that might be at rest. I think the other difficult part is some cyber attacks will drop malware onto your network and it sits dormant and sort of scans your network before it sort of becomes alive and starts to do damage. So I think you have to rely on a lot of good technical products to identify and protect you against these against malware and ransomware.
Okay. What about disclosure of information? I've heard of issues related to that. What does it actually mean? And what sort of things are we talking about?
So from the cybersecurity perspective, something like malware and ransomware, that might get into your network, but ultimately it's got to get back out. It's got to get back out onto the internet or back out to the attacker. And that's where the disclosure happens. Something comes in and it's trying to push information back out. Email, mailboxes getting compromised. A lot of the time the compromise is really there to go and attack others, using your mailbox as a way to attack others. But obviously there could be a lot of information within that mailbox which could be sensitive and that could be could be read or filtered onwards. So yeah, disclosure of information again would be obviously be a data breach, but we need to think about how we mitigate that.
Rob, we often tend to think of cybersecurity as something that comes in. What about within, though? Tell us about things related to staff internet use and use of PCs and the like.
So going back to that sort of insider threat which you discussed earlier, I think it's really key to make sure that we keep on top of something like filtering, and if we've got an understanding that people are disillusioned, or certainly in times where redundancies and restructures are happening, there's an increased risk around insider threat, and that they may be doing inappropriate things with the internet, or looking at taking information off site if they're about to go to another competitor or move to another business. And so you need to think about your intellectual property and your personal data and your customers' personal data as well, so that it doesn't get lost with things like that.
Rob, another term I've heard is denial of service. What does that mean?
So this is where you've got a huge number of machines effectively trying to hit a website in terms of just logging onto or going to your website or going to your network. And just by the sheer volume of access attempts, it brings your network down or brings that website down. So it's effectively trying to access a website or a network in huge numbers, and it just falls over.
So what does it take to get on top of cybersecurity? Need it be expensive? Need it take up a lot of time?
I think it's assessing your risks and assessing what controls you've got in place at the minute, your sort of posture, if you like, around cybersecurity, what you've got and where your risks are and how you can improve it, and having an action plan. And it has to be obviously cost beneficial for you and your customers.
So I know that One West has an approach which is endorsed by the police. Tell us briefly about how the One West approach works.
Yeah, so we've developed a cybersecurity risk assessment which has been endorsed by the Southwest Regional Cybercrime Unit. And this is based on the 10 Steps to Cybersecurity, which is the National Cybersecurity Centre's approach, and that falls in line with the Cyber Essentials Standard, which a lot of organisations are working towards. So our approach is that one-day on-site risk assessment which covers and is in line with these standards, and it works really well. It is a balance of working with the IT technicians and understanding where your gaps are and how you can then mitigate them moving forward, and building an action plan that works for you and is also cost effective.
What about keeping on top of cybersecurity in the long term then, Rob? Is it achievable in practice?
I think you can never say you're ultimately secure and no one will ever get in. I think it's about what you're trying to protect against. If you're trying to protect against a nation state attack, then you're going to need really robust cybersecurity, and obviously central government's sort of cybersecurity would be a different sort of posture to something like a school or a small SME organisation and so forth. So we do need to keep on top of it, and it's not just a case of doing something once and thinking everything's rosy. I think one of the key things is discussing it at a strategic level, making sure it's on the board's agenda and you're talking about it regularly, getting updates, understanding your risks and how you mitigate them.
Final message then, Rob. Do you think people could be advised to wait, or is it better to act sooner rather than later?
Oh, definitely. I think you should need to act now. I think you could. We could all bury our head in the sand and think it would be fine, and we'll get through this. A lot of the time, I think the stats say that at some point in our lives, all of us will get some sort of cybersecurity incident or hack against us, whether that's personally or corporately. So act now, it's better to understand what you need to do and where your risks are than to think we'll do that at a later point.
Thanks, Rob. A really interesting overview.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and hope you found it useful.